I want to share with you some things, and so I'll jump right into it. And I want everybody to know this message today is titled, you know, just be sure you're listening to God. That's the title of it. I couldn't think of anything else more original. What can I do? Just be sure you're listening to God. The reason for that is, and I mentioned this in as we were praying earlier, before the election this year and since then, there has been this overwhelming, and if you haven't been aware of it, there is almost, I'll say almost, overwhelming merge arising of prophets. And they're prophesying everything. And they were prophesying before the election. And most of them, 90% of them, missed it. And they all prophesied that God had told them how it was going to be, and it didn't come out that way. In the Old Testament, if that had been the case, they were to be stoned to death. They'd never get another chance to say another word. I'm serious. That was it. Everybody knows that, but it's true. A false prophet, you miss it one time, you're out, buddy. God didn't put up with it, because God said, my prophets never miss, because they hear my word, and my word is true. So, today, I'm not here, not with a message telling you not to believe a prophecy or any of that. This is on spirits, and it's the spirit who guides a prophet, or either the true spirit of God or false prophet. We need to be careful. We need to be sure we're listening to God. And if you feel like this introduction said, well, I don't know, this is me, where I'm at, it'll be where you're at. It's on how to listen to God and to know what you're listening to. We've all messed up, haven't we? I mean, is there anybody that can say really that you haven't bought something, done something, got involved with something or someone or whatever, saying it was the will of God only to find out, ooh, I don't know what I was listening to, but it wasn't God. Everybody been there like that? Yeah, we've all done it. And it's like, how could I have missed His will that much, that bad, when I really thought it was His will? Now, I will say this. I doubt seriously that I've ever bought a vehicle in my life that where I didn't convince myself it was God's will. Have you? If you go to the gun store and you look at things long enough, isn't it amazing how you can convince yourself it's God's will that you need one of those? And all of a sudden, you will go out and find a quarter lying on the sidewalk. See, it's a sign from God. Money's falling from heaven. I need to go buy that. I'll go back in there and buy that. And so we blame God for a lot of things that God, He didn't have any part of. Or you can go to whatever your favorite place online, go to Amazon and shop around. And all of a sudden, you're just seeing this great deal on something. And you go to the, you know, we don't go to malls much like that we used to, but we will. It used to be the mall thing. Now you just go on the internet. And these things will just jump out at you, won't they? And today only, I like it. Today only, 60% off. Now you never wanted that in your life, but suddenly, I'm going to spend $100 so I can save 60. And I'm going to, you know, and we do that. And, oh, I got a deal, and we didn't even want things. So on and on it goes, and we convince ourselves it's God's will. But let me share with you, this won't be in your notes. This is not up here. This was an add-on that God gave me after I sent Ed the notes. But I'll give you what will be up here. But it's like, add this to it. And it's like one of those things of, Tony, you didn't quite get this from me. I want you to do this. And just mark this down. This is one of several places, but Matthew chapter 24. And I won't read the whole chapter, but you need to read it so you can be very clear on what Jesus said, not what somebody else is saying. Jesus said, watch out. This is verse 4 of Matthew 24. This is the words of Christ. He said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. So take this to heart. I'll bring a message on this one of these days, but this is just a lead-in to the message today. This, the message is not on this. He said, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So when you start hearing, see, listen to what God says, and somebody is saying something and it's not in line with this, they're wrong. They're not a God. God's not lying. Jesus said this is what it's going to be. So you're going to hear wars, rumors of wars, and all this stuff. He said, that's not even the end. He said, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these, he said, are the beginning of birth pains. Just the beginning. Now, this makes you real cheerful, right? So, but we'll talk about this. This is not hopeless, but it is to say, wait a minute. Watch all this stuff you're hearing. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. Now, friends, listen to me. There are people prophesying today, and they have been in the past, that Christians will not go through any of this, and Jesus said right here, you will. So anybody comes along and tells you different, and a bunch of these guys making millions telling you this feel-good stuff, they're lying and they're false prophets. They're telling you that you won't have to do this and blah, 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 and Jesus himself said, yes, you will. And that's all there is to it. And they can, and there's guys out there and gals, they're making a fortune trying to make people feel good and tell them lies. And the truth is, Christianity was never meant to be fun and games. It's a serious, serious lifestyle. And so, but don't get hung up on this. It's not all bad. And he said, people will hate you. And at that time, he said, many will turn away from the faith. Does this sound familiar? And they will betray and hate each other. But we're seeing it like we've never seen it in this world before. And he said, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. There it is. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Boy, is that not true? I think we saw that clearly. And we saw clearly someone who was saying that they were this committed Christian, and when it came time to stand, they put their politics and their future political standing before God. We all know who I'm talking about. And we thought that that was a fine Christian gentleman. And you're deceived. And you're being deceived. I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm saying, man, because here's what God says. He says it's not about the talk, and it's not about the show you put on. He says, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. What does that mean? He's saying, my true people, the ones who are truly my Christians, they'll be able to stand to the end because they're trusting my power. They'll stand. And so he says, the one that stands firm to the end is going to be the one that's the real saved one. And that's part of the fruit. That's how you're going to know. And so we see people, they're saying they're Christians, wilting right and left. And he said, it's the ones that stand all the way. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come, and so forth. You can read the rest. I'll bring a message on that. This is not meant to discourage you. It's meant to say, keep on the truth. Don't be misled by a bunch of stuff. Everybody telling you how, you know, do I think we're at that time right now? I don't know. I do not see all of this happening yet. I don't see all the nations at war with each other yet, and a whole bunch of stuff. So, but he said it's going to happen. But what he is saying, and what you want to grab from that, is many false prophets will arise. And man, they're out there everywhere. And I'm not saying some of them aren't legit, but let me just go ahead and get into this now. And we'll just talk about, you know, be sure you're listening to God. And now let me read to you what you was intended to be put up here. And it's 1 John chapter 4. He says this, so everybody mark this down. This is important. We need to stay true to the Word. And here you go. Here we go. He says, dear friends, this is the NIV, New International Version. Do not believe every spirit. So there you go. He said, don't believe it just because somebody says it's from God. He said, nuh-uh. Don't believe every spirit, but test these spirits to see whether they're from God. He didn't say question God. He says, test that spirit to make sure what you're hearing is from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, this is in John's day. And they were already out there. And boy, they're sure out here now. And so he says, listen to him, he says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And we're going to talk about that. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. He said, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Here's what I like about God. He never leaves us hanging, does he? I read all that, and if you read all of Matthew and all this, but here's what he says. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. God, see, doesn't bring you a message and make you feel bad and then leave you hopeless. That's what people do. God brings the message and he puts out some tough stuff, but he says, wait a minute. He said, but you, if you're my children, you, dear children, you're from God, meaning you believe in Jesus Christ, you're from God. And you've overcome them because the one who is in you, Jesus, his Holy Spirit, is greater than the one who's in the world. He said, you've overcome them. You already beat them through your faith in Christ. But he said, this is what you're going to have to share with other people. And you need to know this so that you can know the truth. The truth will set you free. So let me give you, there's 3 points here. Let me give you the first one. And it's this. Hear and listen only to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, thanks, Tony. That's what our whole problem is. How do you know? Number one, how do I know if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit? Number one, the Holy Spirit will always affirm God's word. You need to hear that. The Holy Spirit will not be telling you something that you can't find in Scripture. He's here to reveal Scripture to you. He's here to show you, to counsel you and comfort you, and it says He's your teacher and your guide. So if you're getting something, or somebody tells you they're speaking from God, and you can't find it in the Bible, you need to stop what you're doing, no matter how much you like what they're saying. The Holy Spirit will always, always, always affirm God's Word. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will not ever discourage you. He is a comforter. He will not discourage you from what? Believing in Christ. Following God, having faith in God. You hear a lot of prophets and it's so discouraging. They leave you no hope and blah, 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 it's going to be this, it is. The Holy Spirit always, always leaves you with what we just read, but you are from God and have overcome them. See, that's the Word of God. What does he say in Romans 8? We're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Friends, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is not here to make you afraid. He's here to give you courage and comfort. He's here to reveal God to you. And he's here to form you and me into Christ's image. You just let him do it. The Holy Spirit will not terrorize you, but he will teach you. And listen to this. The Holy Spirit will teach you, but he will not dictate to you. You with me? God is not a dictator. God offers his word and he says it's up to you to accept it. I won't make you. I won't force you to do this. The Holy Spirit will do the same thing and he'll speak in a still small voice to you and it'll always be in line with God's word and he will not terrorize you and he will teach you and he will not dictate. The Holy Spirit will comfort you and not condemn you. Is everybody with me? There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. And listen to me. The Holy Spirit will, the minute that a Christian sins or thinks of sinning, we all know this, you think of doing something wrong, or you just jump up and say a bunch of mouthful of words, the Holy Spirit will grab you. You have the Spirit in you and you're a child of God, you know what'll happen, don't you? He'll grab you instantly and convict you of that. And you feel rotten about it. Am I right? you lose that temper, say a bunch of cuss words, or whatever you and it comes out, you felt real good for a moment, and then all of a sudden it's, oh God. Right? Or you take a swing at somebody. I know nobody in this room's ever punched anybody, so I don't have to worry about that. But I didn't even look over there. I didn't want to look at the culprit that I was speaking of, but okay, thank you very much, sir. But the minute you do it, or right after it, it's like the Holy Spirit says, then that's conviction. And what do? You say, I'm sorry, God. Have you taken a swing at someone in your heart? Boy, I have. I have. It's like, have you ever put up a target downrange and put somebody's face on it? I have to admit, more than once. More than once. Are there some targets you want to put up downrange now and put some faces on? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't have room enough on my range to put all the faces I want to put up there right now. And yet, you say, well, why haven't you done it? You know why, don't you? Because the Holy Spirit says... And it's like, taking my anger out. No, you're not supposed to let the sun go down on your anger, son. See, that's conviction. Also, if you think it in your heart, you're guilty of it. And I don't want you thinking that in your heart. That's not pureness. That's not cleanness. So I want you to get that out. And so he convicts, but he's not condemning. He's not saying, Tony, you're going to hell for thinking that. He's saying, Tony, you've already been delivered from hell because of your faith in Christ. I'm trying to deliver you from hell on earth that you can bring on yourself if you follow through with this stuff. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's contained. He's wanting you to be conformed to the image of Christ, and he'll convict you when you mess up. He convicts me before I mess up. I just think the thought, and he's there, right? Doesn't he? You? But a lot of times we go on through with it, then we have to really go through conviction, but not condemnation. So he'll convict you, but not condemn you. And the Holy Spirit will always, always, listen to me. The Holy Spirit will always, always lead you to Jesus Christ. And this is one of the things I see with a lot of these prophets. You end up focusing on the prophet, and you're thinking about the prophet, and you're thinking about what the prophet said, and it doesn't leave you thinking about Jesus Christ. A true prophecy from God focuses on God. Not man, not the events, not the troubles. And so whatever you're listening to, and something in your head, ask yourself, is this voice I'm hearing in my head, what I think is the Holy Spirit, is it glorifying God, or is it trying to bring glory to me or someone around me? And the Holy Spirit, when He's speaking, is speaking to glorify God the Father, Jesus Christ the Savior. It's a real true test. And you ask yourself, who am I looking at? What am I thinking about? Has this what I've heard or what's going on in my head, is it causing me to lift up my heart and my hand to God, Jesus Christ, or am I focusing out this way? And listen to me. Everybody, listen. God is working on me strongly about this one thing, and there's many things, but this right here. Too many of God's people were looking to a man instead of God. There's been too much talk of the former president. Hear me now. I'm not putting him down. No way. But it was him this and him that. And he's the one. And we forgot. And maybe God let some of this happen to say, you forgot me. You were looking to a man to set you free instead of Jesus Christ to do it. God said, I put him there, and I can sure remove him if you don't look to me. And I'm not saying you, but think about it. How many people, Christian people, got caught up in the man and did not get caught up in God? And we lose when we do that. Even if it's God's man or God's woman he's put there. Everybody hearing me? I'm not telling you this is what happened. I'm telling you, though, that this is, and in my heart, I know this is part of what's happened to us. You cannot ever put your trust in a person, no matter how good they are. Do I wish we had a different person? Yes. And God is saying, why don't you let me be the president? Why don't you talk as much about me and pray as much about me as you did him? Him, he is a vessel. I'm the one that put him there. You see what I'm saying? Churches worship pastors. There's right now, it's been going on for some time, but right now in this country, people go to big churches because the pastor is a well-known guy. Really? And they talk about that pastor. Oh, I just can't wait to turn on. I got to hear his message. You know what his message is? It tells me how good I am. It makes me feel good about me. It tells me I'm going to be rich and I'm going to succeed. And I'm. And what's the focus on? The flesh. Friends, that is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ focuses on Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and not the flesh. I hope he gives you financial success. I want to see every one of you prosper. I want to do it too. I'd like to get up here and say, I don't need any more tithe checks. I don't need any more. Take the tithe and let's do ministry with you. You don't have to give me anything for coming down here. I want to be able to do that. I want to be a giver, not a taker. I mean that. And to do that, I've got to honor him. To get there, I can't be focused on I'm. It's all about me. I'm not here. Don't think. I'm not trying to rail on any. It's just that, dead gummit, so many people, and they say, well, I just can't believe it. And this guy didn't win. And then what this guy I'm listening to on TV, he just says it's going to be okay and it's all great. And I just read to you, that's not what Jesus said. He said it's going to be great for you in the end. But in the meantime, he wants you to stand tall till the end. Is that what he said? Man. The Holy Spirit will always, always lead you to Christ. And I'll tell you what he'll lead you to about Christ. So you can test the spirits. Is what I'm listening to, is what's going on in my head, leading me to the love of Jesus, the redemption of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus? Is it putting Jesus in my head? Is what this person is saying, is that spirit coming out of them causing me to glorify Jesus Christ? Enough on that. How to be sure I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Secondly, ready for this one? Don't have anything, have nothing to do with false spirits. Nothing. Many are claiming today, as I said, to speak for God. Are they? Are they doing what we just said? Are they glorifying Jesus Christ? Listen, I've listened to several prophecies. So have you. I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm saying this. Some of them, some of them, Christ is really there. But a lot of them, they tell you this is going to happen, this and had this and that. But it's like, okay, and how did this glorify Christ? What did Jesus say? Is Jesus in this? Where's Jesus in this prophecy? Where's Jesus in all this talk? Where is he? That's what prophecy does. It honors God and warns the people. But what does it warn them to do? Not to fall away from God. It says follow God. It's about God. It's all about God. And a false spirit will talk about false things. And the key to it, it's things versus God. This message may not be making you jump up and down, but I sure hope it's educating you. And that's what it's intended to do. The big test on a false spirit, do they witness Christ? Do they do what this says in this book? Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the form of a man, fully man, but fully God? How many of these things are saying that? Do they say that Jesus Christ is a person who came to this earth, the Son of God, and was crucified and resurrected and is at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us right now? Does the lifestyle of the people that you're listening to, do they bear fruit? What's their lifestyle? You know anything about them? I've always said the tough thing about being a pastor is you can't hide anything. Everybody knows you. You know, I can't hide much from you. I mean, what can I hide? You know, it's not that I'm just here. A lot of you have been to my house. You've been all through my house. You've been all through the place. You know, and what can I hide? And you know what? That's the best thing for me that can happen, even though sometimes I think, is there anything in my life that isn't transparent? Not much. But then I think, well, Tony, at least you're not hiding behind a camera. You know? At least you're out there and you get tested and you know my lifestyle and you're going to have to decide on my lifestyle as with anybody else. Does my lifestyle bear fruit? Does my message glorify Christ? Or is it gloom and doom and all this stuff? I want you to know something. You think it's over? It's not over. You look in your Bible, and how many times did God let things happen to His people only to use that very tragic thing as a victory in the end? How many times has God, throughout the history of the world, of His people, in this very Bible we're talking about, how many times has He looked defeat right in the face and brought victory out of it for His people? You know what He's doing? He is winnowing out and He's separating the wheat from the chaff. He wants to see who's really His people and who are not. You're going to trust me now when there's nothing else? When you don't have your hero? And that's no put down, but God's saying, I want to be your hero. I want to be the one that saves the nation. I want to be the one that saves you and saves the church and saves the nation. Call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things you don't even know. The best is yet to come. I want to share with you this, and I'm going to conclude here with this last point. But here, I want you to know this. I've been really doing a study of the American Revolution. And I'm finishing up a two-part series I've been working on. You can read it yourself. And it's by Jeff Shara. I think it's how you say his last name, if you're interested. And the first of the two volumes, and they're thick, they're big, is the first one's Rise to Rebellion. And then the second one is This Glorious Cause. And he goes into the history and the background. Outside of those history books that you've read so little about in the Revolution and what was really going on. Remember the Boston Tea Party and all of that? There's so much more that we've never been told. But one of the things that we've not been told, you know, George Washington was put in charge, commander-in-chief of the American Army. Did you know that throughout most of that experience, George Washington and his ragged army received no support from its Congress? The few people who signed that Declaration of Independence, that was a handful compared to that whole Congress, they ran for their lives, and when General Howe, the British commanding general at that time, when he entered Philadelphia, those people had evacuated Philadelphia, Washington's army was at Valley Forge, and his soldiers had no shoes. And they were walking in snow. And they had no floors in their little huts that they built. And their feet were rotting off. Their toes and hands, their fingers, the surgeons daily were amputating frostbitten parts of their body. And this is not to gross you out. I want you to know something. Congress, from the beginning of this country, has never fulfilled what it was supposed to do. What we're seeing today is no different than, and when General Howe was approaching that city, those people ran for their lives, abandoned that whole cause of the army. His people were starving to death, and it gets better. He put a man, General Green, in charge of his quartermaster department. Quartermaster is the one that takes care of the food and the ammo and the food mainly, and the needs of the soldier. He said, "General Green, I want you to find what's happened to all the stuff." By the way, what General Washington couldn't understand, the French had by then pledged their support to help us. Supposedly ships had come bringing all this good food and these clothes for these men, but they had none. You know what they found? General Green, you got to read about him. He was, let's put it this way, he was honorary. He was the George Patton of General Washington's army. And he went and found that the Congress of that day had unloaded those goods, and the men's clothing and their food and everything and their boots were sitting in warehouses along the coast and just stacked up and never delivered to those men starving to death at Valley Forge. That was your Congress. And yet God worked through those people, and he still brought victory. He still overcame it. And what we think is just because we have so much media and we're so much more exposure. They were jerks then and they're jerks now, but God is bigger than the jerks. It's true. It's an amazing thing how a man or woman elected to office lets that office elect them. And those ragged, filthy people with walking in the snow. I can't imagine, can you? I just walk on cold floors and it feels bad. You know, you get up barefoot and you hit that cold floor and you go, ah! These men were walking and fighting barefoot. Just like in the Civil War, that's the Confederates did too. These are the men who fought for our independence. But you don't read this stuff in history books. You go read those books. You'll sit there going, how, God, did you ever make this nation in the first place? I'll tell you how. Because God wanted it. And God wanted this nation to be a light to the world. And friends, the politicians were the same old greedy, power-hungry, running in fear dudes that they ever were. You had John Adams, Sam Adams, and John Hancock, and you had, you know, Thomas Jefferson. You had some great people, but they were outnumbered by so many. And I want to tell you one other thing. I hope this gives you a lot of hope. Everybody remember what the Tories were? The Tories were Americans who supported the British cause. They ratted on Washington all the time. And every time Washington's army was trying to take the field and form tactics and strategy, farmers, people in homes, rich people out in the field that had country estates were spying on his army because they were out there where those people were, and they were sending messages to the British generals. It was mostly General Howe and General Cornwallis at the time, and they were telling them exactly what General Washington was doing, where he was moving his army, and our own American people were betraying us to the enemy just like they do today. And they were outnumbered and outgunned, and they had spies everywhere. And you know what happened, don't you? You know why? Because a handful of people believed in an almighty God and that God had a divine purpose for this nation. And they wouldn't give up on it. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't listen to these false prophets. You listen to people who glorify God. And when people rat you out, and when you say, well, look at how much of America is following these crazy antichrist, and by the way, they are, they're antichrist people, don't be so upset because they did the same thing when this country was being founded. But by golly, we're here, aren't we? Because our God is bigger than the rats and the liars and the deceivers and the antichrist. And I'm going to tell you something. And I don't want to get there. No, Tony, you're not running for office. Shut up. Okay, so back to the message. You can lie, and you can cheat, and you can steal. But he knows. He's not fooled. You can steal an election. You can steal. You can lie to us. You can get. You can be a. You can be a. You know, a journalist. I watched that crazy person for MSNBC. She's lost her mind anyway, and she wants us all to be re-educated. I'm going to tell you something, lady. If you want me re-educated, you come to my door, and you and me will have a conference. And I do good funerals. And you say, Tony, was that glorifying the Lord? No, it's not. I'll glorify him at the funeral. No, I'm sorry. Don't go too far. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care. Let her blow off her mouth. Let the rest of them blow off their mouths. You stay focused and listen to the Holy Spirit. And don't you be listening to messages. Don't listen to things these days that somebody's just trying to make everybody feel good and send me your money. You listen to the truth that'll set you free. So let me close. I told you I'd close with what was sharing that. I looked at how all this came about. I'm still not through with it. I'm just amazed at the treachery, the spies. You say, all that happened back then? Oh yeah, we just almost didn't have a nation, but God wanted it. And then you read George, and you see George Washington come in. Big man, he's a big man. Huge guy. And he'd come in and they'd pray. His wife, Martha, went out to that camp at Valley Forge. And it was pathetic. And she got some of the other officers' wives out there and they straightened up that camp. And they began to have receptions for the men. And they brought them in and they made them feel like human beings. Isn't that neat? They said one of the greatest things that happened during that whole Valley Forge experience was Martha Washington and the women that came and made them feel human again. That helped them walk in that snow barefoot because they added a happiness and they'd fix them a pie. They'd have meals and it gave them hope. Isn't that neat? She's, pardon? Yeah. You see, God used both. He used the generals, but he used the generals' wives. He used the people, but he brought the women and they brought that humanity in there. They gave people that made, and in the end, what you found out is God used that to put in those men's heart, this is what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for my God. And George Washington and all of them had no qualms about saying, God, they called him providence, our almighty providence, our God. You know, and they honored him, and God honored them. And friends, that's what we have to do. And so this closing statement, overcome. You're going to overcome and win. How? Through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus has already defeated the devil, and it's time for you to defeat the enemy through your faith in Christ. When you start wavering, when you start hearing stuff in the news, and you will, oh, I know, they want to shut down the oil production. You want to do this and do this. Friend, what, stand there and lift your hand and you claim Jesus. I claim the authority of Jesus. What does Philippians tell you? God has given the Jesus the name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess in heaven and earth beneath the earth that what? Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And claim that name and claim His authority over it all and say, I don't care what they're trying to do. I don't care what the media is saying. I care what God says and only what God says. And at the name of Jesus, you will bow and confess. You claim the blood and authority and the absolute power of Christ over it all. You may not know how God's going to do it or when God's going to do it, but just know God will do it. And you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. And then we close with this passage we've already read. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because greater is Jesus in you than he that is in this world. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And I love my freedom. Don't you? Stay in that word. Listen to the Spirit and only the Spirit of the living God. God bless us this day. Bless us these coming days. Father, bless everyone who has given that we can have this sound system repaired. Already got new equipment. And all the new stuff that we need, and the computers all coming in. And God, thank you for that. And thank you for keeping this church going. Thank you, Father, that when we have needs and they're met. Thank you, Father, for the faith that displayed here. The willingness to sacrifice. The willingness to literally walk in the snow to get the job done. This is your army. These are your people. And yes, Lord, they've been betrayed. They've been betrayed and sold out by a corrupt and rotten government, by a media that lies, even by fellow so-called fellow Christians. And yet, God, in the midst of it all, is the same thing we read in our history. God is here like He was there. And God never gives up. And Father, we're putting our faith in You. And we'll continue this fight. And we will not surrender. We will not give up. Because greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. And we claim that victory. We're more than conquerors. Through Christ who loves us, we praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, holy name, amen.